something's going on here. What do you think of when you hear the word fellowship? When you hear the word fellowship, what comes to your mind? Maybe for a lot of us in our church, when we hear fellowship, we think of this. Eating. Because we're going to have a fellowship meal, and we have a fellowship hall, and we think fellowship is a time to get together and enjoy meal and eating together. And yeah, that's part of it. That's part of fellowship, enjoying food together. But there's more to it than that. What you got for me? Okay. We got a new mic, and I was supposed to use it, and that's what happening. I guess they're getting readjusted with the kids on Sunday night and then getting it back for Sunday morning. But anyway, sometimes when we think of fellowship, we think of eating. And that's a part of fellowship, eating and enjoying meal together. But fellowship is more than that, as we're going to see. We are in the middle of a series that I've called Family Values, where we are reflecting on our values as a church, what we value and what we hold dear, what is important to us, based on the Word of God. We find these values listed for us and spelled out in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And we've learned so far that it involves, we value here worship, service we didn't get to yet, prayer, discipleship, and fellowship. The things that we value and what we hold dear as a congregation, which we are committed to and believe very strongly in. So today we want to focus in on fellowship and what that involves. We've already seen worship, prayer, and discipleship. So what is fellowship and what does it mean? We're going to look at the Word of God together today. In 1 John chapter 1, John was writing to the church to encourage them and help them understand the importance of fellowship and growing together, and what fellowship was and how it is grounded. And we're going to be looking at what John had to say. But fellowship comes from a word, and I don't usually use Greek, but I put it up here for you. It's called koinonia because you may have heard that word before. And the word fellowship actually is the word koinonia, which translates from Greek right into English. And what it means is it's a Greek word which basically was used in the New Testament to describe an intimate fellowship that of community and partaking together, that the church enjoyed a fellowship that was intimate, partaking with God and one another. It's a word for intimate, close fellowship of partaking with each other. Fellowship is an essential part of our Christian life. And fellowship is important, as we're going to see. It's one of the things we value. But you may say, but Dan, why is fellowship so essential? We're going to learn today that it's essential to our Christian growth as believers in Christ. And you say, but why is fellowship so important? Can't I, and people have said this to me, can't I just worship God alone somewhere? Why do I have to be part of a fellowship, or why do I have to join in fellowship with other people? What's so important about that? Well, fellowship is essential for your growth and mine as believers, because we need one another. And we need that connection and that sense of connection and belongingness. And we live in a world today where people are supposedly more connected with internet and all the devices and gadgets we have, with email and all that and texting, that people can connect with one another almost instantaneously. But at the same time, we live in a world where people are more lonely. Have you ever noticed that? We have all the connections and all the gadgets with one another, but yet people feel isolated from each other. There's no connection. And that connection is important in our personal life, but it's also very important in our spiritual life to grow, and our growth and essential for one another, because God made us to be in relationships and in fellowship, because our God is a God of fellowship and a God of relationships. And he made us for that. We need that. So fellowship is essential. So we're going to look at the Word of God this morning. and see what we can learn about fellowship and some principles that we apply to our life that are important. Because fellowship is not just eating together, even though that's part of it. But fellowship is doing life together. And it's enjoying life together. It's partaking in the things of life with one another. And sharing our life with each other. It's far more than just enjoying a meal, if that's what we think fellowship is. John had an intimate relationship with the Lord. Perhaps there was none of the disciples that had a closer relationship to Jesus than John. He was described as a disciple whom Jesus loved. In the Last Supper, he was the one who leaned on the side of Jesus, on his breast, as it said, at the upper room, and was the closest one to him. He was in Jesus' inner circle. He was also the one, you remember, at the crucifixion, was the only disciple who was present at the cross. All the others had deserted and fled. John was the only one who was present at the foot of the cross. And it was to John that Jesus had entrusted the care of his mother Mary. He had a very intimate relationship with Christ, very personal, very deep. And the fellowship that John enjoyed with Jesus was very dear. Also, something else we all know about John reads from recently. It was to John that Jesus had revealed the book of Revelation and had given him that special vision of the things yet to come. So the relationship that John and Jesus had was one of a very deep intimacy and closeness. And so John was very concerned about fellowship and us understanding what it was. And he was one who could talk about it and share with us deeply because he knew. So he opens up his letter to the church with that very theme about how we can know and enjoy fellowship and what it is. And from John's letter in these first 7 verses, we're going to discover 3 truths about fellowship and why it's essential for us in our growth. And the first thing we see is that fellowship is important because we connect in fellowship. That's how we connect with God, and it's how we connect with one another. In verses 1 to 4, he said, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you. And the life appeared, and we have seen it and testified." And he says, "We proclaim this to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Fellowship is important for our growth because that's how we connect. How we connect with each other and how we connect with God. And that connection happens through a personal relationship with the Word of Life. Notice the very personal, intimate details that John shares. When he says that which was from the beginning, it takes us right back to the Gospel of John. And you remember how the Gospel of John began. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But notice the very personal words. He said, "We have heard, we have seen, we've looked at, we've touched." He uses his very personal words there to describe the relationship and the intimacy that John had. And he knew Jesus well. He had that personal relationship with him. He said, "We have seen. We're testifying what we have experienced, what we know." Because he had that very intimate personal relationship with him. The first way we connect in fellowship is to have that relationship with Christ. And that's where it begins. By knowing him, by trusting him, by relying on him, by walking with him. And having that personal connection with Jesus. And that's where the fellowship begins. Because fellowship has 2 different dimensions to it. The vertical, which is our relationship to God. And the horizontal, which is our relationship to others. And both are grounded and intersect at the cross of Jesus. And that's why the relationship with Christ is important. And that's why our connection of relationships begins with him. Because through the cross, we have that relationship on the vertical way where Jesus paid the price for us. But the cross and God's redemption also frees the way that we can have relationships with others on the horizontal. Because God loved us and forgave us, He calls us as well to forgive and to connect with others too around us. But through that relationship with Christ, the Word of life, we are brought into fellowship. But that's where it begins. That's not the ending of the story. That's just where it begins. We are brought into the fellowship with God through Christ. Through that personal relationship, but also through the proclamation of the Word of God. After he shared and said, I've shared what I have touched and seen and what I've looked at and what I've experienced in my life, the relationship I have, he said, we're proclaiming him so that you too can have fellowship with us. Paul said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. And when the Word of God is read, or you come, and once you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you put your trust in him, and you have that personal relationship with him, and you are walking with him, it's through our daily time in the Word that God speaks to us, that we grow in that relationship with Christ. It's when it becomes more dear and more precious. Have you experienced that? It's when you open the Word and the Word is proclaimed, either we come and it's taught, or we have our own personal time with the Lord. God speaks to us through the Word. And again, he's showing us in our relationship maybe something we need to change, or our love for him is deepened. But what we discover through his Word of his wonder and of his grace for us. But through the Word of God, we have fellowship with him as he speaks to us. And our relationship grows. So connecting in relationships is important through a relationship with him and through the Word of God. And that's how that connection begins, and we're brought into fellowship. But notice John continues to go on and say something else. And the second principle we discover about relationship and fellowship is we connect in fellowship because, secondly, we're to walk then in fellowship. Because once we have connected with Christ and we are brought into the fellowship of God and relationship with him and each other, we're to walk in that. And he says in verse 5, this is the message that we have heard and declare from him, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6, and if we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. Once we are brought into relationship with Christ, we are to walk or to live in. The walking means our lifestyle, the way in which we live, what we believe, how we our pattern for living. And fellowship is not only just making that connection with Christ by faith. Fellowship is also walking in him every day. That point of walking in fellowship and communion with God. And we can be out of fellowship with God. That doesn't mean that we lose our salvation, but we can be out of fellowship with God when we're not walking in his will. When we're not walking according to his word, and we go our way instead of his. When we don't follow the direction of his truth for us, we can be out of fellowship with God in that intimacy. And God, intimacy with God does not seem as close as it used to be. And in those times, it wasn't God that moved, it was us. We walk in fellowship by walking in the light. He says, in him is light, God is light, and in him is no darkness. Walking in the light means to walk in the truth of his word. And in the scripture here says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light is walking in the light of his spirit, letting his spirit direct us, his word guide us. As it says in Galatians, to keep in step with the spirit, that his word, which is that light for our pathway, showing us the way to go and walking in it. That's the way we have fellowship. Fellowship is far more than just that meal. It's the connection in that personal relationship, but also it's the walking in fellowship, which is a day-by-day thing. As we walk in the light, and aren't you thankful that God gave us the light to follow? There's nothing more scary than to be in a dark place without any guide. And you don't know which way to turn or any direction. And the light also gives us direction and counsel and guidance in the important decisions that we make. The light also shines in the times of darkness, of tragedy. To have the light there to give us guidance and counsel and to walk in it as comfort. Walking in it and also living by the truth. The truth of his word, which he reveals to himself. He said, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live by the truth. So John is saying we can't claim that we are in fellowship with God, and yet we aren't, and we're living in a way that is contrary to his truth, or that we don't believe his truth. Believing and accepting his truth and living by it is how fellowship is with God is maintained and shown, and how our fellowship with God grows. That's why fellowship is essential to our growth. Because it's that walking in the light that makes us or keeps us in relationship with God. Connecting in fellowship, walking in fellowship. How are you doing in walking in the light every day? That every day as we get up, ask God to direct your steps and say, Lord, in this day that is ahead of me, I don't know what it will bring, but you do. And in this day that is ahead of me, help me to walk in the light as you direct me. May your will be done instead of mine. It's a practice we need to do. I have discovered in my life, I don't know if you have, but I discovered in my life in the days that I get up and I don't begin the day by saying, Lord, in this day that is ahead of me, help me walk in the light. That's where I end up getting off track. Has that ever happened to you? If I get up and I say, Lord, help me to keep in step with you and to walk in the light as you show me today, things go better for me. But if I don't do that, I've noticed that's when I can get off track. And that's keeping in step with the Spirit as he guides and directs us. So we connect in fellowship, we walk in fellowship, and the third thing John tells us is then we share in fellowship. And the sharing in fellowship is what we think of with the meal, but it's more than that. The sharing in fellowship gets back to that word koinonia that the church experienced, that participating in intimate relationship with each other and partaking that whatever one experienced, they all experienced. Paul said that we weep with those who weep, we rejoice with those who rejoice. That our relationship with each other within the church should be so intimate that when one part of the body hurts, we all do. When one part rejoices, we all do. Because our relationship that we have for one another, our care and concern for each other is so intimate. We're going to see that the Bible has a lot to say about one another, and that fellowship is tied up in one another. In sharing with each other and how important that is. We're going to look at a bunch of verses here, and I have them down for you on the outline. But first in Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And in Romans, if you want to turn there, Romans 12, 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Sharing in fellowship means that we are devoted to each other. That we care for one another. We're concerned for each other. We are committed to each other. And that, as I said, when one part of the body hurts, we all do. We are devoted to. That means that we're a priority. That we make gathering together and meeting together a priority. It's something we don't want to miss because we realize how important that is for our own spiritual life. As well as each other. We have that devotion to each other. That's what fellowship is. How devoted are you to your brothers and sisters in Christ and the family? God calls us to that, and that's what fellowship is. Also, in Romans 10, 12, 10, it says to honor one another above yourself. Sharing in fellowship means we're devoted to one another, but it also means to honor one another. To honor one another means to put others before us. Paul said in Philippians, there was an argument that was going on between two women in the church, and he said, I appeal that these two women agree and get along with each other. And then he gave an example of what our attitude should be. And he said, our attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who did not consider his position something to be held on to, but made himself nothing and took on the form of a servant and put us before himself. Honoring one another means to rejoice in the life when a brother or sister in Christ in the church, something happens in their life. Maybe they got a promotion, or sometimes it's hard for us when maybe sometimes someone gets passed over for us and we think, oh, we get a little jealous. But to honor someone other is to be joyful for them. And to put others' well-being ahead of our own. And to be looking out for those around us. That's fellowship. Giving that place of honor to those before us. In Galatians chapter 5, we see that honor, fellowship means to serve one another. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Fellowship means, and sharing in fellowship means, that we serve each other. And we're not truly experiencing fellowship in the biblical context unless we show and do those acts of service for each other. Within the church and with one another. We're going to be talking more about service later, because that's another one of the core values. But that of serving and helping when you see someone in need. Maybe it's just as simple as sending that card when someone's going through a hard time. Maybe it's just as simple as picking up a phone and giving someone a call. Maybe it's just as simple making a meal for somebody who's gone through a hard time. But all acts of service, and we do that so well, and many of you do that so well because so many of you have that gift and you use it so well. But serving one another, not out of compulsion, but out of love. Showing the care that we have for each other. That's fellowship, is serving. Serving those around us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We see another use of that one another in talking about fellowship. And that is, fellowship means to be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. And there's that one another again. But being kind to those around us, showing the kindness of Christ, and treating others in the way that Jesus has treated us. Showing the same kind of compassion that he has given and demonstrated to us. Kindness, compassion, and love. Fellowship also is shared in whenever we forgive one another. And maybe of all of them, this might be one of the hardest. It says in that same verse, 4:32, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And maybe that of forgiveness might be the hardest one for us sometimes, because we sometimes have a hard time releasing things and holding on to maybe what somebody said about us or did to us. But yet forgiving one another as Christ forgave us, that's how we share in fellowship. And that's an important part of it. And we're not going to grow in our relationship with Christ until we get past that. Until we are able to release those things that we may have been causing us bitterness and resentment towards a brother or sister in Christ, or even somebody else. And releasing it to God and forgiving as we have been forgiven. I am so thankful every time I think about forgiveness. I'm so thankful that Christ forgave me of all that I've done for him, against him. And if he held on to all the things that I've done against him and said, I'm not going to forgive him for that, Wouldn't that be horrible if God said that to us? But he freely forgave. And if we confess our sin, and it says over and over, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us. In the same degree that we've been forgiven, we need to forgive those around us. And that's sharing in fellowship. And until that happens, fellowship will not be restored. Sometimes maybe it be in a relationship that you have with a coworker, or sometimes relationship within families. And as we're gathering in and get into the holiday season and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and families get together for those meals and the gatherings, sometimes family gatherings can be stressful, can't they? They can be just stressful, and all the different personalities of bringing everybody together, and they can be stressful. And there's some things that happen that might have to be forgiven of in the past. And it's sad that some families gather together where members don't even talk to each other. And that forgiveness and love and demonstrating that. And as believers in Christ, we need to model that and forgive as we have been forgiven. And try to bring reconciliation and fellowship with one another. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, the scripture there says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with your heart in gratitude towards God." We share in fellowship when we admonish one another. And I looked up that word admonish and what that word means. And that word admonish means to warn or to exhort. So fellowship is admonishing somebody, a warning that if you see a brother or sister in Christ in the church doing something or engaging in something that may be detrimental, in love, we warn or admonish and say, you know, you maybe consider that may not be the best thing for you. Or making a decision that may be harmful. And admonishing is to bring warning and admonition and guidance because we care. It's what you do as a parent whenever you see your child or grandchild doing something that you know is going to be harmful for them. You admonish them to stop, right? Because you care. It's the same way in the family of God. Admonition done in love. Because we care for one another. And we love each other. And we don't want to see others do something detrimental in our Christian life, in our Christian walk. Admonishing, so that we stay on that path. When we see somebody getting off the path, we say, you know, you might be getting off the path here. Maybe you need to consider get back in your change here. An admonition. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, "Let us now consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Fellowship means to spur on one another. And I looked at the difference. What's the difference between admonition and spurring on? And I think of the same. It's kind of the same, but it's different. Spurring on means to stir up or to motivate to action. And so when you're stirring up, that means we're provoking, we're getting somebody, we're motivating someone to take action that they need to. Admonition may be encouraging someone to stop doing the wrong thing. But stirring up and spurring on is encouraging someone to take the right action or to keep on moving forward. And we all need those times in our life where we need someone to come along and prod us sometimes, don't we? Because we can get stuck in a rut. Even spiritually, we can get stuck in a rut sometimes. And we need someone to come on and spur us on a little bit and say, okay, get with it. And motivate us. Maybe it's by someone coming to you who, out of love, comes and says, what did you read from the Word of God this week? Or what did you get out of your devotions when God said to you? And maybe that's just enough to spur us on and say, you know, I didn't. And that spurred me on to motivate me what I should do. But we need to do that with one another, and that's fellowship, spurring each other on to growth, to become more like Jesus, right? To challenge each other. In love, not in love, to spur each other on the faith. That's fellowship. That's sharing in fellowship, and that's why it's essential to our growth. Because without it, we'll just drift. God made us to be in that connection and to share and do life together. So spurring each other on to become more like Jesus. Then 10:25 of the same chapter, he said, let us not continue meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. So fellowship also means to encourage each other. You say, what's the difference between admonition, spurring on, and encourage? Well, admonition is the warning. Spurring on is the motivation to take action. Encouragement is to give aid and comfort. When someone's going through a hard time, when someone loses a loved one, like what just happened with Danny, encouragement is coming alongside and aiding and comforting, praying for, just putting your hand on the shoulder, just saying, I'm with you, I'm praying for you. And coming alongside. The word encouragement means to come alongside. And we all need those times as well, don't we? When we're going through hard times, for someone to come alongside us and just say, you know, it's going to be okay. You'll be able to make it through this. I'm with you. I'm here. I'm sharing this with you. I'm partaking in this with you. And that's what koinonia is. I'm partaking in this with you. I'm joining you in this. And together, we'll make it through. Sharing in that time of fellowship that is so important. Encouraging each other. And he said, encourage one another. And the rest of the verse says, all the more as you see the day approaching. The word day there meaning the Lord's return. Meaning the closer we get to the Lord's return, the worse things are going to be. The more we need to encourage each other. The more we need to stand along each other and say, you know, we're in this together. We can make it. I'm with you. And partner together. That's sharing in fellowship. Sharing in fellowship also means to love one another. Back in 1 John. In 1 John, John had a lot to say about love. He was known as the apostle of love. And in chapter 4, verse 7, he says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God. Then verse 11, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And no one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That loving one another and demonstrating that love that God showed for us, that we show for each other. That love that we see. And if you want to know what love is, John tells us, but look to Jesus. But if you want to know what love is, read 1 Corinthians 13. Because 1 Corinthians 13 is the best definition of what true love is that God displays, of how we're to show to one another. That love that doesn't hold any grudges. That love is the quick to forgive. The love that is not easily angered. The love that bears and endures all things. The love that endures, the love that goes the distance. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us. Jesus demonstrated it and demonstrated it for us. And that's the kind of love that we are to display and share in and partake in as family of God and as believers. And we share in fellowship when we meet together and meet with one another. In Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, the basis for the core values. It says that they were devoted to one another, and every day they met in the temple courts. But they were devoted to one another, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. And then in Hebrews chapter 10:25, it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. It's important. We need to meet together. We need to be a part of coming together and gathering. And we worship God on Sunday morning as a family. And yes, to hear God speak to us, but also to enjoy and share in fellowship with Him on the vertical level. So our relationship with Him on the vertical level can grow, but also on the horizontal level as well, as we share fellowship and relationship with each other. So how does this apply to our life? as we think of fellowship as a whole, as we summarize what John is saying, and John does a beautiful summary of what fellowship is as we put this all together. Because when we respond to the word, we are brought into fellowship with God. That's verses 1 to 4. Then we hear the word, we respond to it, we are brought into fellowship with him. And we have a relationship with God that will grow and develop. And when we are in fellowship with God, we will walk in the light. And that's verses 5 and 6. That if we're in fellowship with God, it's going to be demonstrated by us walking in the light. If we're not walking in the light, it means we're out of fellowship with God. And I ask you this morning, where are you? When we have fellowship with him, we're walking in the light. And if when we walk in the light, we will share in fellowship with one another. And that's verse 7. And as we're walking in the light, we will live and share in fellowship, because in that, we will be serving one another, loving one another, forgiving one another, being kind to one another, all those things that we looked at. And that will be demonstrated in our life if we're walking in the light, and it will come natural. It will be something that we will display. So we're in fellowship with God, and we're a part of the fellowship with one another. John says, I declare these things to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Both relationships, horizontal and vertical. Fellowship is far more than sharing a meal together, even though that's part of it. But it's far deeper than that. It's partaking of and enjoying life together with God and each other. And it's essential to our spiritual growth. So we can't say, oh, can't I worship God alone? No, we need each other. We need to be in fellowship with him, and then we need to be in fellowship with one another and brothers and sisters in Christ. And fellowship and partake together that we may grow and encourage each other in our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you provided a way that we can be in fellowship with you. That through your Son, Jesus Christ, you provided a way that we can be forgiven and be brought into that relationship. And Lord, thank you for that. Through your Son and through your word shows us how we can live in fellowship with you. But Lord, if we are in fellowship with you, then we need to be walking in the light as you are the light. And when we're not walking in the light, we are out of fellowship with you. And then we wonder sometimes where the joy is in our life. We wonder sometimes why our prayers don't seem to be answered. We wonder sometimes why you seem to be distant. It's because we're not walking in the light and we're out of fellowship with you. Because we've chosen to go our own way instead of yours. And we confess, Lord, and you told us that all of us are like sheep, and we are your sheep. And as sheep, we're to follow you and be so close to you that we follow where you lead. But you also told us that as sheep, we all can go astray. And often we do. And we just get off the path, and we choose our own way instead of yours. And when we do, we're not in fellowship with you. And Lord, that's when we need brothers and sisters in Christ or your word to spur us back on, to admonish us, to warn us to get back on the path again, that we can walk in the light. And when we do walk in the light, we're in fellowship with you. Then we will share in fellowship with one another in a deep way. As we share and do life together, serving one another, loving one another, forgiving each other, admonishing one another, living for each other, as we follow you together. So Lord, may we truly understand and know what it means to be in fellowship with you and with each other in that vertical and horizontal way. Yes, we enjoy meals together. We enjoy fun activities together. That's all part of bringing that togetherness. But it's much deeper. It's, Lord, so that we are partakers together of the gospel, partakers together of our life with you, and sharing together in the good and the bad, and encouraging each other along the way. So Lord, may our fellowship with you and one another grow and be deeper and strengthened, that the bonds of love between us would be strengthened and grow even deeper than they are, as we fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your Spirit, which binds us together as one. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.